Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. Welcome to the program. History repeats itself first as farce and then as tragedy. I'm not sure what how to describe this repetition that has just been revealed within the past hour of the pawing hands of the Bush State Department going through the passport records of Barack Obama. The last time this happened that we're aware of course, was in 92, when the passport records of both Bill Clinton, his mother, and Ross Perot, I believe, were being investigated by George Herbert Walker Bush. So, the story that we have so far, security breach of Obama's passport records at the State Department, that three times, going back to January 9th was the first one, then in February, and now in March, three times this has been done. The State Department has not asked its Inspector General to appoint a special prosecutor, which is what happened during the breach of the Clinton passport files. And it's my understanding that the Barack Obama campaign was only informed of this within the past hour or two. This is really rancid, but this is what it's come down to. I see the hands of both the Clinton campaign and George W. Bush's hands on this too. And if not Hillary Clinton directly, then people who would want to see that her campaign has a chance of not dying. The Clinton campaign is dead. Run the numbers, do it any way you want to do it. It's over. The only thing that will get Hillary Clinton the nomination now is if something horrific happens to Barack Obama, or if the will of the people that has been expressed in all of these primary elections across the country is overturned and denied by the superdelegates. If the superdelegates respond to the will of the people that have put Barack Obama, whether you like him or not, is really immaterial here. So if you're a Clinton supporter, for God's sake, save your finger energy and don't send me an email. I'm not talking about either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton getting the nomination vis-a-vis one deserves it more than the other. What I'm talking about is the numbers indicate there is no way in hell for Hillary Clinton to get the nomination now for the Democratic Party's candidate for president. It's not a question of who you like, folks. It's what the numbers have indicated. So the only way to get rid of Barack Obama is to turn enough people against him. And by God, they have been doing that. They being, I don't know, who? Republican operatives? Karl Rove? The Clinton campaign? George W. Bush? I have no idea. But it's happening right in front of our eyes. This constant repetition of this goddamn Jeremiah Wright tape over and over. And in the meantime, Sean Hannity hangs out with neo-Nazis and promotes them and gives them airtime, and nobody says anything. I know Sean Hannity's not running for president. He couldn't run for dog catcher. But good God, they're going after Obama, and if you're a Hillary Clinton supporter, you better stand up on your hind legs and defend against this. They're going after him on a race basis. They're invading his privacy of his passport. They are trying to deny him what he so far has legitimately won. And that is the nomination of the Democratic Party to be president. This is not... Ah, Christ. I get so sick of this. Bill Burton, spokesman for the Obama campaign, said this is an outrageous breach of security and privacy, even from an administration that has shown little regard for either over the last 8 years. Burton went on to say, our government, its duty is to protect the private information of the American people, not use it for political purposes. Well, I realize Bill Burton's got to make a statement like that, but come on, Bill. You're talking about the Bush administration. Are you serious? You can't go to the bathroom now without 9 different security agencies knowing about it if they want to. George Bush doesn't take a dump when he's overseas without everything being collected and brought back to some lab. You're living in the age of Bush. This is what it's come down to. So the Burton, or Bill Burton, the Obama spokesman, is asking for a complete investigation to find out what the hell is going on. NBC News is reporting it. CNN's reporting it. Apparently, 3 people who had access to Obama's passport records were contract employees of the State Department's Bureau of Consular Affairs. Isn't that Blackwater? The Bureau of Consular Affairs, aren't they the ones that protect State Department employees when they're out of the country? Yeah, I think they are. It's not just Blackwater. I think DynCorp is involved in that. You think maybe it's Blackwater? That seems like a reasonable supposition at this point. It's all speculation right now. But contract employees, that kind of blows the whistle, doesn't it? The report is that Condoleezza Rice only found out about this within the past 48 hours. It's her goddamn department. She runs the State Department, doesn't she? Yeah, sure she does. And not a peep, not a word, nothing. Oh, let's pretend like this didn't happen. State Department official told NBC News, quote, a monitoring system was tripped when an employee accessed the records of a high-profile individual. When the monitoring system is tripped, we immediately seek an explanation for the records access. If the explanation is not satisfactory, the supervisor is notified. End quote. Okay, so does that mean the January 9th invasion was investigated, no problem? What about the one in February? What about the one in March? You see the BS that's going down here? Do you understand this? Explaining why independent contractors had access to these files, the State Department thug bastard said, quote, the State Department uses cleared contractors to design, build, and maintain our systems, and cleared contract employees provide support to government employees in several steps of passport process, including data entry, file search, customer service, quality control. Each time an employee logs on, he or she acknowledges the records are protected by the Privacy Act, and they are only available on a need-to-know basis, end quote. Well, if all that's true, you dork idiot, how did it happen 3 times? And who is running the State Department other than Dick Cheney? You see how this works? You see how this works? A senior State Department official also told NBC News, quote, there was no political motivation, end quote, to the incidents. He added that the 3 were low-level contract employees and only accessed Obama's records out of, quote, curiosity, end quote. Oh, well then, all right. Well, that settles it, doesn't it? Jesus God. Ah! Jack wrote in, I was just listening to NBC's Pete Williams talking with Keith Overmuth, and Williams stated that there was no criminal investigation into this because the Inspector General for the State Department said there might have been some snooping going on, but he didn't feel it warranted an investigation. This happened over 2 months ago, and they didn't even bother to tell Obama, and he's a U.S. senator. Do you believe this blank? Jack. It's really astonishing, isn't it? So who do you think? Truth Seeker, do you think it was the Clinton campaign? Do you think it was the Bush operative? Do you think it was Blackwater? Who do you think it was? Who do you think it was that has been digging around, trying to find something, anything on Barack Obama to destroy his candidacy? You've got to, you know, in Watergate, they said follow the money. In this particular instance, maybe follow the lust for power. Who would that be? The skeletons are hidden in the closet. This is my private place. Can we get me out of here? We'll be right back.
I don't email, however. And there's a reason. I don't want you reading my personal stuff.
According to what we've been able to get here by surfing around the web, a similar data breach took place in 1992 when State Department officials looked up data on Bill Clinton. And if you remember, that was an attempt to find out information from the late 60s because the scum that is the Bush family started the rumors that Clinton had sought to renounce his citizenship to dodge the draft during the Vietnam War. Remember that? And the other scum that was put out there by Limbaugh, the pig man, and the rest of these right-wing Nazis was that Clinton went to Moscow and led an anti-American, anti-war demonstration back in the... Remember that? Remember that BS? Remember that huge mound of bat squeeze? Do you remember that? Sure. Now, that incident triggered a 3-year investigation by a special prosecutor who finally found that no laws were violated, but that officials had exercised poor judgment. Oh, my God. And I think the Clintons, possibly, like any politician, again, I hate to keep making it appear as though I'm picking on them, but I think the Clintons, like any politician, probably like Barack Obama will soon learn, is that you can't fight this. That there are cabals of power inside the U.S. government that ordinary dumbasses, truth seeker like you and me, will never, ever, 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 ever know about. Ever. But once you reach a certain level of power, oh, I don't know what, president, vice president, cabinet member, senator, you understand what's going on and the futility of resisting it. So what do? Become part of it. How else are you going to cover your own ass? Like, oh, I don't know, Hillary Clinton joining the family, this ultra-right-wing, neo-Nazi, Jew-hating, Catholic-hating organization that's been around for a very long time, that supports right-wing dictators and does it all in the name of their Lord and Savior, Jesus H. Christ, that Hillary Clinton has been hanging out with now since she became a senator. Maybe it's organizations like that that one realizes when one reaches a certain level of political power, oh, my God, I can't fight this. I can't. There's no way in hell I can fight this. If for no other reason, they'll kill me. So I'll become quiet about it or acquiesce in their activities or become part of it. You think? Nah, that's too tinfoil hat-ish, isn't it? Oh, good God, Malloy, what are you talking about? Secret little circles of people like, what, maybe Skull and Bones? Inside the U.S. government? Oh, please. Maybe people that could have engineered an attack on this country? Please, stop it, Malloy. If I want this crap, I'll go listen to, oh, I don't know, there's all kinds of programs out there on the Internet that you can listen to. But does it make you stop and think at all? Possibly? Maybe? And don't forget Cookie Conrad. Do you remember Cookie Conrad? Jen emailed us in, Mike, two things that are plaguing my mind. The first breach occurred January 9th. The then Inspector General, Cookie Conrad, resigned January 15th. Then the second breach occurred February 22nd. And wasn't that right around the time that the photo of Barack Obama came out showing him in tribal dress? Huh? Huh? Hey! How about that? Now, Barack Obama, didn't he spend some of his he spent some of his childhood with his mother in Indonesia? Is that right? you know, his mother, the white side of his family, was pretty active in traveling. She did a lot of things, took Barack with her around the planet. And obviously, the young lad needed a passport. But wouldn't it be nice to find out, ooh, what's this? This son of a bitch went to Pakistan back in 1979 or, you know, whenever. Oh, what's this? The senator spent time in Syria? Oh, my! He does hate America. He is a Muslim. He is going to get elected and then execute the entire legislative branch of the government with bombs and machine guns. We knew it! We knew it! This is how filthy it's become. This is how filthy it's become. And you can thank the neo-Nazi right for this. You can thank people like Newt Gingrich and George Herbert Durbert Bush and Ronald Reagan and all the thugs going all the way back to the Nixon administration, most of whom are still around and still destroying our system. Huh?
Than a special prosecutor, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour, so the breach, security breach into Barack Obama's passport files on three different occasions, and right after the was it the first one or the second one in February, about 3 days later, the Inspector General of the State Department resigned. Who was the Inspector General? Well, it was Cookie Krongard, but his real name is Howard, of course, and you know who his brother is. Oh, you forget? His brother is Alvin Buzzy Krongard. You remember who he is, right? No? Well, Buzzy is on Blackwater USA's advisory board. Eh? No, couldn't be. Yes, it is. But, no point in connecting the dots. There's nothing here. Move along. Just because the resigned inspector general who resigned 3 days after the second breach happened to be the brother of Buzzy Krongard, who happens to sit on the board of Blackwater. No. And this time, when the facts are coming out, it was, a contractor. State Department, Office of what? The Office of something. Oh, could it be the same office that provides Blackwater security guards? Well, okay, so what? So nothing. I just find it interesting. Don't you? And Buzzy Krongard, of course, sits on the board of Blackwater, is a former top CIA official. Ah! But there's nothing here. Move along. Believe the 9/11 story as presented to you. Believe it. Blah, 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 blah. I can't hear you. Ba, 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 ba. Put your hands over your ears and make loud noises. Denise in Sacramento writes in, first of all, if this were just out of curiosity, I would think that other presidential candidates' files would have also would have been breached. How convenient that it's only Obama's file. Second, after the first breach on 9 January, that file should have been locked down and or password protected. And third, after the first, second, And third breach, why wasn't the White House notified? Why didn't Ms. Rice contact Obama directly to tell him? My first thought on this is it boils down to, quick, let's get our story in place before everyone finds out about the breaches. Yeah. And William, our software diplomat, writes in, back in 1992, when this happened to Clinton and possibly Ross Perot, there were no such thing as 8-gigabyte flash drives that could be easily plugged into a computer's USB port. USB didn't even exist back then. Now, I have no idea how much data was in Obama's immigration file, but more than likely, or the passport file, but more than likely, it wouldn't take more than a few seconds to plug the flash drive into a USB port, get it recognized in Windows Explorer as a new drive, select the files and paste them onto the drive and remove it and flee. William writes, I hope they have some sort of preventive measures in place. I doubt it, though. Buzzy Krongard. Ooh. Well, what do you know? So, how far do you think this story will go, Truth Seekers? Huh? How far do you think this will go? Oh, it's just a diversion. But I will play games tonight when the program's over. I will have my glass of wine and sit on the back porch and stare out into the darkness in the woods behind our house. And I think, now, who would it be? Would it be somebody in the Clinton campaign? Somebody from the vast right-wing conspiracy? One of these 527 Swift Boat groups looking for something, anything? Could it be the McCain campaign? Could it be Bill Clinton? Could it be who was it that would put a Blackwater subcontractor onto doing this? Now, of course, it's all speculation and nonsense, because none of what I'm telling you is the least bit true or have any basis in fact whatsoever. I found this story very, very interesting, and it filled me with a kind of exultant anticipation. I don't know why, but here's the story. An American research team says the electronic information sent by defibrillators into someone's heart can be intercepted by hackers with all sorts of nefarious possibilities there, you can well imagine. But the team acknowledges there exists no evidence that this has occurred. Of course, there's no evidence it hasn't occurred either. But that's kind of not the point, just that it can be done. Defibrillators implanted in a patient's chest cavity monitor a patient's heart rate and emit a high-voltage electric shock to the heart when it slows. New defibrillators can now send information via radio signals to a patient's bedside manner. A monitor, I'm sorry, which is then relayed to doctors, usually once a day, says, it was reported by CNN. And then it lists two researchers who found that these radio transmissions were not encrypted and therefore susceptible to interception. Okay, that would put the patient's information and identity possibly at risk, as well as the patient's names and medical ID numbers. But even more than that, the hacker takes advantage of the fact the ICD, the implanted device, possesses a radio which is designed to allow reprogramming by a hospital doctor. The security center demonstrated the hack of an ICD made by Medtronic using a PC, radio hardware, and an antenna. The ICD was not in a patient at the time. The research is detailed in a report released yesterday. The report reveals that a hacker could, quote, render the ICD incapable of responding to a dangerous cardiac event. A malicious person could also make the ICD deliver a shock that could induce ventricular fibrillation, a potentially lethal arrhythmia, end quote. Now, let me see. Who do we all know and loathe who has a defibrillator?
Clear.
In his chest, and who has to keep going in and having it fine-tuned.
Clear.
The Food and Drug Administration acknowledges that the possibility exists that a hacker could intercept the radio transmission, but says the likelihood of this happening is remote. And plus, the equipment needed to carry out the intrusion is pricey and, you know, sophisticated. The kit used in the experiment cost the two researchers $30,000.
Clear.
Who do we know that most Americans know? Who do we know that has... Oh, my goodness. The possibilities are just unlimited, aren't they? I think his initials are Dick Cheney. Well, I don't think anyone would even consider that because, first of all, it would be against the law. It's against the law to even think about it. Now, talking about electrocutions, the U.S. House Committee Chairman has begun an investigation, that would be Henry Waxman, into the electrocutions of at least 12 members of the U.S. military while they were in Iraq, including that of a Pittsburgh soldier who was killed in January by a jolt of electricity while showering. Waxman said yesterday he has asked Defense Secretary Gates to hand over documents relating to the management of electrical systems at facilities in Iraq. Staff Sergeant Ryan Masseth, 24 years old, died January 2nd of cardiac arrest after being electrocuted while showering at his barracks in Baghdad. Also Wednesday, this young man's parents filed a wrongful death lawsuit in Allegheny County against, here's a familiar name, Kellogg Brown and Root, the Houston-based contractor responsible for maintaining the electrical systems at this young sergeant's barracks. The lawsuit alleges that Kellogg Brown and Root allowed U.S. troops to continue using electrical systems, quote, which KBR knew to be dangerous and knew had caused prior instances of electrocution, end quote. Sergeant Masseth's mother told the Associated Press yesterday, quote, I expected that if I lost one of my sons in the war, it would be due to an IED or a firefight. I never expected to hear he would be electrocuted, that something so senseless happened to him, end quote. Kellogg, Brown, and Root declined to comment yesterday, but said, oh, hell yeah, we'll cooperate with the agencies investigating the sergeant's death. Oh, yeah, yeah, we certainly will cooperate. We will. Now, we may send somebody from Blackwater around to talk with the dead sergeant's parents about their lawsuit, but, you know, we'll comply.
Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Bob writes in a little bit more about old Buzzy Krongard. Bob writes, Mike, remember the mysterious put options on American and United Airlines that reaped millions of dollars on 9/11 by someone who appeared to have foreknowledge of the attacks? You know, it just appeared. That's all, just appeared. In the case of at least one of those trades, which has left $2.5 million prize unclaimed, the firm used to place the put options on United Airlines stock was, until 1988, managed by the man who formerly was the number three executive director position at the CIA, but now a member of Blackwater's advisory board, A.B. Buzzy Krongard. Hey, the buzz van seems to keep popping up in all the wrong places. Bob, come on, put your tinfoil hat away. There's nothing here. Nothing. Those put options are very common, very normal. They happen all the time on airlines, in any stock. Put, call, up, down, left, right. There's nothing suspicious. The fact that nobody picked up the money might, I don't know. And Prairie 2 writes in about flash drives. First, William, our software diplomat, mentioned them. Prairie 2 says, after a couple of embarrassing incidents at nuclear research labs, it occurred to people that maybe workstations shouldn't have removable drive ports. You'd think that the State Department, who handles highly sensitive information all day, would be onto this, but that wouldn't stop somebody who had clearance from doing it anyway, but not some low-level clerk who they're trying to hang this on. No, pray to, come on, everybody, back off. Take a deep breath. There's nothing here. Reggie writes in, I'm tired of Obama now, too. He just had to announce that he's a Christian who prays to Jesus Christ, our Savior. Spare me. They're all the same. Denmark or Norway sounds inviting. Did I miss that? Did you see that, Kathy? Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. Well, okay. Sheila writes in, Tucker Carlson says this comes at a perfect time for Obama because now we're not talking about Obama's preacher, and it helps Obama in every way. It's good news for Obama. You go, Tucker, straight to hell. And what else here? This is from Steve. Oh, he wrote this to Jeff Farias, who's on right before I am on KPHX, and sent me a copy, so I'll go ahead and read it. Steve writes to Jeff on the subject line, all Catholics are child molesters. And then Steve writes, I'm sure that title caught your attention as I intended it to. I'm a conservative libertarian who's totally disgusted with the insinuations of about Barack Obama and his preacher, and even more disgusted with the lack of guts in the Democratic Party. If you're serious about winning the party, fight back as fiercely as the Republicans. They are playing a guilt-by-association game with Obama, so use it back on them. I'm offering a frame that will put an end to it immediately, which is all Catholics that have not denounced and given up their Catholicism must be child molesters themselves. They are, in fact, guilty by association. The soundbite should be made by Obama himself, which will create such a firestorm the whole subject will be dropped. Well, there is a perverse logic to what you're saying, Steve, but, sure. But Democrats don't fight that way. They should. Of course, that would blow up in their faces. Did you hear what the Barack campaign said, the Obama campaign? Said all Catholics are child molesters. You know why I said that? Because he's a Muslim. Edie writes in, Mike, today on Blowhard, is that Hardball? Gas bag in chief Chris Matthews interviewed Susan Eisenhower and Lincoln Chafee. Miss Eisenhower is the granddaughter of Ike and Chafee, a former Republican senator. They can see what the GOP has become, and for the good of the nation, are, for the first time in their lives, supporting a Democrat for president. They like Obama's message of bringing people together. As Susan Eisenhower said, don't forget he's half white, and so in a way, he's all of us. Lincoln Chafee, who did not support the war, respects Obama for taking a stand and believes this shows good judgment. At least they're not following the straitjacket express, Edie, in Alabama. Oh, and the Iraq War is longer than the Civil War. I said last night I thought it was the third longest war. The war in Iraq. The Civil War started April 1861 and Lee surrendered April 1865, 4 years. Red's right. You might have meant the American Revolution, which began in July of 1776 and lasted till October of 1781. That was 5 years and 3 months. Bush will have that time beat by this summer. Jesus, God. I don't have time. We'll do a couple more when we come back. All right, let's do some phone calls when we come back. Because with excuse me, with this particular story, I'd like to get your take on it. So if you have a comment on the Barack Obama story, we'd like to hear that in this next segment. If you don't have a comment, just wait a little bit later in the program to call if there's something else you want to talk about, because I'd like to get your take on this this Barack Obama security breach times three. And everybody just finding out about it now. The first one was January 9th, and Buzzy Krongard, and the CIA, and put options, and Blackwater, and contractors, and, oh, Christ. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is an email that was left over from last night. Oh, by the way, this is Nova M Radio, the Malloy program. This is from Doug in Boston. Mike, I haven't written in a while. I'm afraid I'll start screaming if I ever call you on air. 40 years old, and I think I'm done. As far as I'm concerned, McCain will be the next president. Pretty much zero coverage of his recent multiple gaffes regarding Iran and Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and his approval ratings are pretty much through the roof. Who are these people being polled, and why are they voting? Maybe they're multimillionaires. Probably not, but maybe. Perhaps they're uninformed, misinformed, racist, sexist, or stupid. But really, Bush has an approval rating lower than a clam's rectum, yet it looks as if the public is willing to vote for what amounts to a third term for the imbecile-in-chief. So, to everyone out there who's voting for McCain no matter what, enjoy, enjoy, enjoy the next 4 to 8 years. You all deserve everything that comes your way. Doug in Boston. A little frustration in that email, Doug. It comes through. It does come through. Phone calls. Let's go. Let's do that. Virginia is calling from Alameda, California, listening on the internet. Hey, Virginia.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
I am just flabbergasted, dude. What is this with the family? What on earth is going on with this crazy religion? What is going on with our country? You should get this guy who wrote this book on the family to come on your show, because it's about to come out soon. It's got great reviews already on the prelims, and he's from Brooklyn, and he'll have a good accent. Anyway, I don't know what to say, you know, at this point. If it's gotten, well, obviously it's gotten to the point where the DLC and the Republicans, you can't slip a piece of paper between them.
No, you can't.
And Hillary thinks she's Ayn Rand, and she's having fantasies about the fountain. I don't know what to say. what are you going to do about it? What are we supposed to do with this?
I don't know. You know, with all this religious crap, and all these crazy Christians and crazy Muslims.
But it's warpedness too. I mean, yeah, religion can be completely twisted by anybody.
Well, sure, but what I'm thinking, But I'm thinking, I wish in this country, I almost wish that we were like the UK, where there was official state religion, like the Church of England. An official state religion. Because then the nutballs would be so marginalized, everybody who wanted to go to church would have one choice. Do you go to the Church of England? Now, I realize that's not the situation. You can do anything you want to in the UK. But at least it keeps everybody in line, so sort of. The crazy people that want to believe this religious fantasy stuff. But
look, you know, I mean, if it gets you through the night, it's one thing. If it's a plot to control all of the governments all around the world and back fascists and dictators and this, that's a step beyond religion. I mean, that's using religion as a total excuse. I mean, you know,
you
can use whatever you want as an excuse in this world. And if you want to use religion as an excuse, there you have it. Join Hillary's cult.
Yeah.
I'm beyond, you know, I'm beyond all these people in the party talking out of both sides of their mouth. It's, you know, like the Trail of Broken Treaties. Let's just end it. Let's just break all the treaties. Join the Lakota. Give up our citizenship. I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know what to tell you. All I know is I'm sticking with Obama like glue, because this is some of the nastiest stuff I've ever seen.
It is awful.
Just filthy. And if he joins them, well, he can kiss it too, you know? I mean, that's the way it is.
Sure.
I'm just keeping it real. You know, you join them, you're dead with me. Forget about it. And I hope by now people will just say, Hillary, step down. Let's get with it. You know, because we don't have time for this.
I know.
This is insanity. But
you know as well as I do that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, we have to push the media, man. We just got to push this story to death. And, you know, they're breaking laws. They're joining cults. I mean,
Virginia, who do you think, of all the possibles, who do you think is responsible for violating the security of Barack Obama's passport information three times?
It's the Klan. I mean, you know, oh my God, what are we supposed to say? And then they're going to get mad at Wright calling it the KKK of you. I don't know what. What are you talking about? These people got in bed with dictators who killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people,
sure,
from Indonesia to El Salvador.
Sure.
Mira, I'm, you know, come on now. And she's going to, I have never, I mean, there have been a whole lot of secular things that she's done and said that have been so over the top and so one step beyond. But, you know, then you throw this into the mix and you go, you're going to complain about Wright? I mean, Wright couldn't do the stuff these people do. How could, in his wildest dreams?
Right,
let's get over it. This is what we need to be focusing on. These people are... Who are these people? What are they? Let's just see exactly what they're doing and throw them out and stop this nonsense. This is insanity. Anybody will agree that these people have to go, whether you're a libertarian, whether you're a Democrat or Republican. These are lunatics. These are people that are just running the entire world on an ideology of they're in the way, wipe them out.
I know.
What are we thinking and doing in this predicament, as if we were the most powerless people in the world instead of the most powerful voters in the world? We are the most powerful voters in the world. Let's stop acting like we are so pitifully helpless.
Hey, show me where to sign up.
Look, man, just, you know, work hard for Obama. Get on his blog site, call Pennsylvania, sign up all these young people and all these independents and all these people who have some common sense. And let's just use these numbers. That's what we've been doing all along. That's the only way it's come this far in spite of this insanity. So, you know, and we'll keep him honest. And if he's not honest, we'll take him down and replace him with the next one. But this is our job. This is nobody's job but ours. They can talk themselves stupid into the ground, but we can do something.
I hear you.
And anything that's been done so far against all odds, honey, I have talked myself into laryngitis calling so many states on his behalf. It's ridiculous. I went to El Paso. I was in a border town caucus, okay?
Uh-huh.
I've never done this in my life. And the only reason I do it is because the alternative is not feasible.
Well, yeah, the alternative is obviously is chaos. Virginia, thank you. I got to move on. I appreciate you checking in, dear heart. Robin, I'm sorry. Let me put, let's get Robin in L.A. listening on KTLK. Hey, Robin, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Mike. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm just so disappointed in the American people right now, because it's like the right wing are the puppet masters, and they've thrown out this little shadow of a doubt, and they're just grabbing onto it, and they're taking it for all it's worth, and that's all they needed. And I've just become so sick with everyone, you know, feeding in with this that media broadcast every night,
mm-hmm.
and taking it for what it's worth, and it's just sickening. And I don't know, you know, what to make of the American people anymore. I thought that maybe there was, you know, some hope that everyone was, you know, for getting this administration out. But now I don't know what to think, because they just gravitate to this nonsense like it's gold, and they hold on to it, and it doesn't have a shred of anything tangible.
Oh, what's your take on this the story that's coming out tonight about on three different occasions over 3 months violating the privacy of Barack Obama's passport information?
Well, you know, this is what they do. They I feel honestly that they've allowed this story to get out. There is no doubt that they've allowed it to go out. And even though there's nothing that came of this whole leak, this whole madness.
Well, we don't know yet.
I don't think so. But I just think the fact that it happened and it's out there puts enough doubt into some people's minds, again, that this is a guy who could be a terrorist. This is a guy who, you know, went to a madrasa, who's ready to take over America and put, you know, the Quran into every school. This just feeds into that. I don't know if it's Hillary. I don't know if it's the right wing. You know what? I'm starting to think that it's both of them working together.
Well, there's been plenty of evidence, Robin, that the flying monkey right in this country sees Hillary as its savior after 8 years of this twit we have in the Oval Office. Robin, I got to leave it there. Thank you, dear heart. I appreciate you checking in. We'll chat again. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
House in the morning, the terrorists or Democrats strike without warning. So till you're back safe in bed, wear a bucket on your head. That's what I said. And to show your support for right-wing ideology, the raids on Iraq and the rape of the ecology, while the treasury's being bled. Keep a bucket on your head. You won't need any eye holes, they'll just...
21 past the hour. Back to your phone calls here real quick. Let's go to Jimmy, who is calling from Texas, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Jimmy, welcome to the program. Hey, Jimmy.
Hello?
Yeah,
yes,
hi.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
How's your show, man?
Thank you.
You're real. Yes, think about it. It's going to this man's passport. Only one can come there is got to be an office of a court, right?
Say it again.
Anybody can. Only person can go into that that record of his, that passport record, will be somebody in the offices of the court.
Well, I don't know how it works. I just know that it is secure information, and nobody it's covered under the Privacy Act, whatever the Privacy
uh-huh.
Act is. But, you know, this is the Bush administration. Nothing is private. Nothing is inviolable.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything is open to political use. Anything can be breached. Any lie can be told. Any bit of lies and deception can be put in play at their whim. So I don't know, you know, what the rules are supposed to be.
Right. And Clinton, it could be very well be the Clintons, too. She kind of mad because, you know, Barack didn't want to do that revolt thing. And he just followed by the rules.
I hear you.
You know, it's just really ridiculous.
I know. I think there's a very good chance, Jimmy, that it probably was somebody connected to the Clinton campaign. I know it's going to piss off a lot of Clinton supporters, but I'm sorry. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate you checking in. Tony is calling from L.A., listening on KTLK. Hey, Tony. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. You know what?
What?
You know, God don't like ugly and ain't crazy about pretty. You know how we used to say that
right,
back
right.
in the day. And the way I look at it, this all the dirt, the corruption. I mean, Stevie Wonder can see that this stuff is corrupt to the core. And you know what?
What?
I don't know if you saw the movie The Matrix, but it's like, white folks.
Sure.
Take the red pill, okay? You got to wake up. We already, I mean, people like us, Mike, we know the play. We know what's been going on all along. This is nothing new. It's not surprising.
I know.
You know, whatever. But the naivete so many people have
right.
just drives me insane. And to me, if there's anything, that one thing about the Bible that it also says that what a lot of people mean for evil, you know, will come to good.
Right.
I think if you look at Clinton talking about he's un-American, now all of a sudden, ooh, we're looking at his passport. Oh, my God, where could he have gone? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
They're trying to, you know, set it up, but it's going to backfire. I already know, because when you are righteous, I'm sorry, honey, it's going to fall like dominoes. And to me, what more do people need to see how corrupt this government has become? What more do they need?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why we didn't just go crazy and put things in place to prevent this nonsense way back when we discovered what Dick Nixon had done. But you know what
right.
happened? All we did, everybody just said, oh, my God, this is awful. Let's impeach him. No, I'm going to resign. Okay, and then it was business as usual. Went right back to the same old crap. They tried to get some laws passed regarding freedom of information, tried to get some laws passed about wiretapping of citizens of the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people who have worked in mostly Republican regimes and some Democrat regimes, they don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
They play by their own rules, and folks like you and me can just, you know, we can go for a walk on the beach or we can just forget about it. You know, just forget
right.
about it. This is somebody else's game.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, I've gotten the impression for the last 30 years that I am watching someone else's game. I'm not part of it. I don't get invited to their dinners. I don't get invited
right.
to their award ceremonies where they give each other awards about, you played the game real good. Well, thank
mm-hmm.
you. Thank you very much. And you don't get invited either. And
mm-hmm.
and most of us, 99.9090909090% of us don't get invited. But in the meantime, it's our family members who are supposed to go kill and die. It's our
exactly.
bank accounts are supposed to be shriveled up. It's our retirement plans are supposed to disappear. It's our jobs
mm-hmm.
that are supposed to go overseas. It's our grocery bill that we can no longer afford if we're going to gas up the car. So while they play the game, you and I are down here just going, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Right.
And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of
all
it,
right.
Tony.
Well, you know, it's going to change because the way I look at it is like this. Can't nobody ride your back unless it's bent. King said that. You know, it's time for us to do what we got to do. Because to me, if he was not about what he's supposed to be about, all this wouldn't be happening. We've seen this before.
Yes, we
You know, history always repeats itself.
Sure it does.
You know? And
it
so
does.
Basically, he's got to be on the right path or all this wouldn't be going down. So my thing is, it's the time for everything, and now is the time. It's just
well,
time.
I just wonder what's going to happen in the time, though. Tony, thanks. Always good to hear
You're
from
welcome.
You. All right, take care. Take care. And behave yourself, Tony. Lord, some of you callers make me nervous. Where are we? We're nowhere. There's something I want to share with you when we come back. It's called In Remembrance of Ishmael. And it's Uncle Mike's Story Corner for tonight. So it's not very long, but you're going to like it. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong.
Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk. And I love the way you talk. When you walk that walk.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
You
Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
Out off my feet. Boom, 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 boom.
About 25 before the hour. This is not Uncle Mike's Story Corner. I have something else for that. And I can't do it tonight because it's too sad. This is A Moment with Bob. A Moment with Bob. Hey, Mike. When I was 16, our family went up to a cabin that my grandfather rented for the week. On the second night, two men from the third cabin down from us, a man and his 20-something son, came over to our fire. Introductions were made all around, and it turned out the man knew somebody my grandfather knew, so that meant we were all kind of connected somehow, so have a seat around the campfire. After talking about the weather, could be worse, and the fishing, could be better, the conversation died down some, and then the man said his son had just returned from Vietnam. That caused a flurry of comments that were straight out of a 1940s World War II movie. The "glad you made it back safe, son," and "we're all proud of our fighting boys," sort of things that people say. And then I asked the son a question. I didn't know it at the time, but that question and his answer would change the direction of my life and the way I thought about just about everything from that moment on. I asked him, "What was it like over there?" And he began to talk. While he was talking, he didn't look at me or anybody else or into the fire. While he talked, he was looking into the night, someplace past my shoulder, into the dark. He didn't talk with any expression, no anguish, drama, or emotion, just one word after another, brick by brick, in a calm, flat monotone. He talked about bodies. Ripped apart in a burst of gunfire, or one well-aimed shot to the head, minds that blew people apart, or maimed. He spoke words that described the effects of bullets, hand grenades, mortar shells, and bombs on the human body. "Blood and bones and jelly," he said. Men, women, and children, Vietnamese and American bodies. Didn't make any difference to him as he spoke, just recounting the dead bodies that he'd seen from memory. To him, the dead were all citizens of the same country. He didn't talk about fighting for America or fighting against communism. He talked about fighting to survive. He talked about going out to kill people, afraid of being killed, and killing whoever he thought was trying to kill him and his buddies. Again and again and again until somebody said he could stop for a while, rest up, and then go do it some more. And now he was back. Even then, I knew that he wasn't back. I didn't know who the father had sent off to war, but I knew that the guy who came back had been fundamentally and completely altered by the war. I watched his father as the son talked. He looked like any parent would, while listening to their child tell of the horrible things they had seen. The things that every parent would try to protect their children from seeing and doing, if only they had known. I don't remember what we did after the son told us about what it was like over there. I can guess that the grown-ups, somewhat embarrassed by the naked honesty of what they had heard, said their hurried good nights and maybe the fishing will be better tomorrow, and we drifted back to our cabin. No one ever said anything about what the son had talked about. Years later, I asked if anybody remembered the Vietnam vet we met up at the lake that night, and nobody remembered him. Because of him, I didn't go to Vietnam. My decision wasn't based on disagreeing with America's imperialistic foreign policy or refusing to be a part of another U.S. war of aggression against a third world country. That came later. Books and books and more books later. I didn't want to see what he had seen. I didn't go because I didn't want to end up like him. A guy who at one time probably cared about cars and sports and girls and college, but came back with all that blasted away. Came back with everything blasted away. Leaving him as a ghost that nobody remembered nor listened to his warning. So today we embark on the sixth year of another imperialistic American war that makes more bodies, more maimed, more survivors, more ghosts, more people used up and discarded by whoever they are, the people that decide that it's time once again to make untold billions by making war. Today, is it possible, is it too much to ask for us to spend an hour or two and demand that they stop? 42 years ago, I listened to a 20-something Vietnam vet tell me his story. I don't remember his name, but after I read Moby Dick, I always thought about him as Ishmael, a man who ended his story, "The drama's done, all are departed away, I only am escaped alone to tell thee, Bob." Good story. A Moment with Bob. Back to your phone calls. Andrew in New York City, listening via the internet. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm all right. You know, it's funny because this whole thing with Obama, you know, when Hillary sat with all of those military people and said the difference between her and McCain was slight, mm-hmm. I went, at first I looked and I said, what the hell is she doing? And then I thought about it and I said, oh my God, she's sending a message to all the people within the Pentagon and the State Department. This is reeking of the Clinton campaign.
The breach tonight?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's so funny to me because people, I'm not a supporter, believe me, I'm no supporter of Obama. I like him, but I'm not a supporter by any means. Mm. But when I heard this tonight, Mike, I almost started laughing. I was like, this is horrible. And then I thought about it. I said, where's Bill? What's he doing? You haven't seen much of him lately.
But now, wait. What makes you sound very, 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 very convinced. What makes you convinced this is a Clinton campaign operation?
Because if you think about it, everything's been, I mean, I know it's hard to explain, but there's just a feeling you get. This is really smart. This is a smart thing to do.
Yeah.
Bill's not a dummy. You know, he's no fool.
Right.
And when it's an opportunity now to ask Clinton questions, put her as the victim, have her be this person who stands up and says, no, this isn't me. That's not what I stand for. There's something about this, and I'm starting to laugh now, that just is very, for lack of a better term, Clintonian. They have people within the State Department that I really think he's been working his magic. And I know it sounds crazy, tinfoil hats on, but I really do believe this. I really do believe that this is the work of the Clinton campaign.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. I toss that out as one possibility. The way our system has become so poisoned, mm-hmm. and so corrupt and so filthy and so power mad and so disconnected and divorced from what the American people in this country really needs. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Clinton. I wouldn't be surprised if it's McCain. Wouldn't mm-hmm. be surprised if it's some dirty, filthy trick by some one of these swift boat five to seven campaigns. Wouldn't be surprised if it was done by Blackwater because they're planning to assassinate Barack Obama.
That was the other thing.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, they told the Clinton campaign has told the superdelegates, you know, don't make a decision yet. Don't make it yet. And when I heard that, I mean, all of this stuff that I'm sitting back going, this is crazy.
Yeah.
This is absolutely crazy. Something is going to happen. And it's just a matter of what? First, the right thing? That right thing has been just so overplayed. It's not even, funny.
They won't quit. I get up in the morning and turn on television to see what the weather and the news and who's been murdered overnight and how many were dead in Iraq. And all I see is that damn videotape.
Right. The video is all over the internet.
Oh, sure.
It's unbelievable to me. And I said, this is nothing.
But you know why it's out there, because there is a powerful, powerful faction in this country that will die before they'll let a black man be president.
That, Bottom line, they will, no way a black man is going to be
they
president.
They will do anything to stop Barack Obama because his father was a black man.
That's it. Simply
and
put.
It's there. I mean, you know, we can all get together and integrate and hold big rallies for Barack Obama, but where the rubber meets the road, this is still a violently a racist society that is just itching to pull the trigger on somebody, whether it's mm-hmm. pull it literally or pull it figuratively.
That's right.
And anything to stop Barack Obama from you know from fulfilling what it appears so far in the primary season the American public wants. No, we'll do anything because we can't handle this. We can't face it. If we face Barack Obama, a black man as president of the United States, there's some things inside of white America that has to be faced. And I'm here to tell you, Andrew, that white America is no more ready to face that than they're ready to face any other monster that they've got wandering around inside their heads. So
I hear you, Mike.
It's a weird place to be. I got to leave there. Thanks, Andrew.
Bye-bye, right. Bye, Mike.
Take care. Appreciate you checking in. That's about all we can do, really, is just kind of kick back and laugh and giggle and pick our noses, right?
Left out? Join your friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Yeah, I forgot. Hi, guys and girls. No sexism in this program. Hi, everybody from the NSA who monitors the show. Hi, how are you? How's your mom and them? This is from Art. Mike, Crooks and Liars has more information. This is at their website. Following up on the breaking scandal involving the multiple breaches of Senator Barack Obama's passport records by State Department contract employees, Dan Abrams tonight on MSNBC spoke with Eric Holder, co-chair of Obama's campaign, as well as Joe DiGenova, former U.S. attorney who investigated a similar breach of President Clinton's passport records during his first run for president in 1992. The State Department is saying that Secretary of State Condi Rice is saying that she only learned of the breaches yesterday. And as DiGenova states, it is inexcusable that she wouldn't know about something this important and that it shows an incredible lack of leadership and gross negligence. DiGenova also says that even if the Inspector General does do a formal investigation, the employees who were fired cannot be called to testify. In light of these facts, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi should call for a full investigation immediately, and these employees' computers, bank and phone records should be gone over with a fine-tooth comb. Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC noted that each intrusion happened within a day or so of an Obama victory. New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Hawaii, and Mississippi. Coincidence? We need to know who knew what and when. To put this into perspective, though, DiGenova is outraged by the news of this compromise, and he's known for being a partisan hack who believes he was a victim of the White House slander machine during the Clinton administration. Just happens to be married to Victoria Tenzing, counsel on the impeachment case against Clinton, and who testified before Congress in the Valerie Plame case, repeatedly attacking Plame and saying that she was not a covert CIA operative. That Joe DiGenova. DiGenova. Please don't send me a pronouncer on his name. I know I'm saying it wrong, but you know what? I really don't care. You know who I mean. Yeah, I saw him briefly. I saw his face on MSNBC, and it was like a bad acid flashback. Like, You know, back to the bad old days of going after Clinton's penis that the right wing was so intent on doing. It's just too bizarre. I wanted to get this out, and I don't know if we're going to have time. It's about Sean Hannity's association with Hal Turner. Do any of you know? You can do a Google during the break on Hal Turner. Max Blumenthal, in the online version of The Nation magazine of June 3rd, 2005, wrote extensively about Sean Hannity's association with Hal Turner. He's a neo-Nazi, total anti-Semite, just an absolute psychopath. He's from North Bergen, New Jersey, and he used to post bomb-making tips on his website. And he hailed the firebombing of an apartment containing what he called savage Negroes, and he called for the murder of immigrants. Turner wrote on his website, "When enough illegal aliens get killed, they will stop coming to the country." He was once a prominent activist in New Jersey's Republican Party. And to area conservatives, he was best known by the name he used when he called Sean's show. He was Hal from North Bergen. And for years, Hannity put this thug on as a regular for Turner's racist, always over-the-top rants. Hannity also chatted with him off-air, allegedly offering encouragement to Turner as he struggled to overcome a cocaine habit and homosexual leanings. Hal Turner has boasted that Hannity once invited him, Turner, and his son, onto the set of Hannity and Combs. Today, Hal Turner lurks on the fringes of the far right, spouting hate-laced tirades on his webcast radio show. Hannity, meanwhile, remains mum about his former alliance with the neo-Nazi, honing in instead on the supposed racism of black and Latino Democrats. Well, what brought all this up, the other night, Malik Shabazz of the new Black Panther Party, an attorney, was a guest. I don't know why people have any brains at all go on this pig show. But when Shabazz was there trying to defend something that doesn't need defense, and that's Obama's membership in this church and Obama's preacher, it was all the usual attacks on Obama over those with whom he associates. But last night, on the 19th, Shabazz brought up Hannity's association and love fest with white supremacist neo-Nazi Hal Turner. And I watched the video. The video's out there. First, Hannity denied knowing Turner. Then he said he had long ago banned Turner from his show. It's just Hal Turner once on Hannity's show said if it weren't for the graciousness of white people, quote, black people would still be swinging on trees in Africa, end quote. Now, this is the sort of person, Hal Turner, that Hannity, who is just a snotty little neo-Nazi bastard, if Hannity had been in Germany in the 30s, he would have headed the Hitler Youth, trust me. I've said before, his program is totally derivative. He's not even as entertaining as the psychopathic Michael Savage, and he's not as funny as the comedian Rush Limbaugh. Hannity is just a weird. I don't think he's ever had an original thought in his entire life. But Malik Shabazz handed Sean Hannity his ass last night, and Hannity couldn't handle it. If you look at the video, you can find it. Just go find it. You'll do it. Hannity finally has to cut Shabazz off, and Shabazz raised a very salient point. Why are you talking about this minister that has been to the Clinton White House, you racist little punk ass, when you, Sean, hang out with neo-Nazis? Ah! We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
It is 7 past the hour. Welcome back to the Molloy program on Nova M Radio. Well, we're getting all sorts of updates here now regarding the breach of the passport information. And it is important because it's my understanding Barack Obama had his first passport. He was 2 years old. And this is a guy who's done a lot of travel, and there's no telling how his lifelong itinerary could be spun by these pigs who either want McCain elected or want to destroy this black man because he's a black man. And they decided since the last one they murdered on the step or the balcony of the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis that, you know, they got to be a little bit cooler this time. Jesus, God. Anyway, apparently the person who fired the first two contract employees was appointed by Bill Clinton as an ambassador to Paraguay. She recently resigned her job. Is it Laura Hardin? Laura Hardin? Oh, well. Ben writes, Mike, I think the fight over this nomination and over Michigan in particular has so turned off Americans that McCain will easily win now no matter who we nominate. I'm absolutely sick to my stomach at that possibility. Yeah, it was determined today. I think today the final decision was made. No representation regarding delegates from Michigan or Florida because they were bad little Democrats, and the state Democratic Party was bad and held the primary on a date different from the one that they were instructed to hold it by the Democratic National Committee. So no delegates for you. What is kind of weird to me is the reaction of the two leading Democrat, or the only two Democratic candidates, Obama and Clinton. I think I heard Hillary today saying, I don't know where she was, but I think I heard her saying that the voices of the people of Michigan should be heard. Oh, really? But you agreed to abide by the rules, didn't you? Senator, I don't know. John Nichols, writing at thenation.com, says Clinton's lie kills her credibility on trade policy. Nichols writes, what's the proper word for the claim by Hillary Clinton and the more factually disinclined supporters of her campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination that she's always been a critic of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA? She's made this in speeches, briefings, and interviews, including one with me, John Nichols. He goes on, now that we know from the 11,000 pages of Clinton White House documents released the other day, the former First Lady was an ardent advocate for NAFTA. Now that we know that she held at least 5 meetings to strategize about how to win congressional approval of the deal. Now that we know she was in the thick of the maneuvering to block the efforts of labor, farm, environmental, and human rights groups to get a better agreement. Now that we know all of this, how should we assess the claim that Hillary's heart has always beaten to a fair trade rhythm and that she's always been a critic of NAFTA? Well, John, it's questions like that that just piss off Hillary Clinton supporters to the point where they stand there and say, I'm going to hold my breath until you stop. John Nichols goes on, now that we know from official records of her time as First Lady that Clinton was the featured speaker at a closed-door session where 120 women opinion leaders were hectored to pressure their congressional representatives to approve NAFTA, now that we know from ABC News reporting on the session that, quote, her remarks were totally pro-NAFTA, end quote, and that, quote, there was no equivocation for her support of NAFTA at the time, end quote, now that we have these details confirmed, what should we make of Clinton's campaign claim that she was never comfortable with the militant free trade agenda that has cost the United States hundreds of thousands of union jobs, that has idled entire industries, that has saddled this country with record trade deficits, undermines the security of working families in the U.S. And abroad, and has forced Mexican farmers off their land into an economic refugee status that ultimately forces them to cross the Rio Grande River in search of work. As she campaigns now, Clinton says, quote, "I've been a critic of NAFTA from the very beginning," end quote. But the White House records confirm that this is not true. Her statement is, to be precise, a lie. When it comes to the essential test of the trade debate, Clinton has been identified as a liar, a boldface type L-I-A-R liar. Those of us who covered the 1993 NAFTA debate have frequently expressed doubts about the former First Lady's recent statements. We never heard anything at the time about her dissenting from the Clinton administration line on trade policy. And we knew that she had defended NAFTA in the years following its enactment. But fairness required that we at least entertain that notion, promoted by the lamentable David Gergen, that Hillary Clinton had been a behind-the-scenes critic. We had to at least consider the possibility that, at the very least, Clinton had been worried that advancing NAFTA would trip up her advocacy for health care reform, that she had made her concerns known, and that she had absented herself from pro-NAFTA lobbying. That was certainly the impression that Clinton and her supporters sought to create as she campaigned in Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Indiana, states where worried workers want to know exactly where the candidates have stood and currently stand with regard to trade issues. But that impression was a deliberate deception. And we must all now recognize that when Hillary Clinton speaks about trade policy, she begins with a lie so blatant that she's been a critic of NAFTA from the very beginning that everything else she says must be viewed as suspect. Oh, here come the emails from the people who are going to hold their breath now because I have said something factual and negative about Senator Clinton. Excuse me. Well, that's all right. That's okay. You know, I've made myself very clear that neither of these candidates is a liberal, neither is a progressive, neither has presented position papers that are detailed as to how to solve the problems that this filthy Bush administration has given us. Both of them have, used rhetoric, but as far as really putting out there a plan that is workable, and of these two candidates, the more egregious efforts at deceiving us has been from Hillary Clinton. We know this, damn it. I'm sorry. I know that this issue is going to sink the Democratic Party. I understand that. The issue of this gender race thing, and I think it's more of a gender thing. I think it's a female and a male running for this office. Forces outside the Democratic Party, I honestly believe, are injecting race in, and it's going to get more and more toxic, folks. Let me just suggest this. One doesn't make predictions about political events or political flows of energy, but I'll make a prediction. If Barack Obama gets the nomination at the Democratic Convention, this country is going to see a wave of virulent racism that we have not seen in a very long time. You do understand that, don't you? Huh? You do understand that. Okay. Are you prepared for it? Are black folk ready to take the punches again? Are white people ready to see their hopes, progressive whites, millions of us, ready to see once again the hopes that somehow we could get past this race issue? Are we prepared? We whites prepared to see it slammed to the ground again? So I'm telling you, I think Ben is right. I think the next president of the United States is going to be John McCain. Which might not be a bad idea. Just make sure that the House and the Senate are veto-proof and let McCain twist slowly in the wind. That's not my line. That comes from a previous Republican administration. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy. There's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope. The government, they keep on... Turn on your night when you turn off your light. Go to bed with Mike Malloy every night on Nova M Radio.
Gene, is it Gene? Wrote this. Mike, please bring this up. They, the right wing, they don't have a way to attack Obama without looking like the racists that they are, except if they turn Obama into a racist. This is a classic rogue smear. I bet you he's behind it. This is nothing but a swift vote. The coward Bush, who ran away from serving in Vietnam, accused Kerry, who served in Vietnam, of being a coward, especially now that we know that this came from the McCain camp. The attacks on Obama, I'm not so sure it came from the McCain camp. I really am not. I realize John McCain has been a senator for a long time, but I don't think McCain is a politician. Just my opinion there. Of course, everything you hear on this program comes from me. It's just my opinion. The McCain gaffe, where when he was in, was he in Jordan when he said this? He made the admittedly false claim to reporters in Jordan asserting that Iranian operatives are, quote, taking al-Qaeda into Iran, training them and sending them back, end quote. Now, when he said that, the just squirmingly atrocious Joe Lieberman pulled him aside. You see it on the video, and he whispered in his ear. And then McCain corrected himself, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. The Iranians are training extremists, not al-Qaeda." But it wasn't the first time McCain has made that same statement. During an interview with the right-wing mouth-breather talk show host Hugh Hewitt, just a day earlier on the 17th, McCain said, "As you know, there are al-Qaeda operatives that are taken back into Iran, giving training as leaders, and they're moving back into Iraq," end quote. Of course, Hugh Hewitt, being the total dumbass that he is, never questioned that. Not only is Hugh Hewitt a dumbass, he's also, just another one of these right-wing freaks. So how have the media responded to this? We have all been paying very close attention, haven't we, whether we wanted to or not, about the a couple of sermons by a preacher who I'm still trying to find out where he spoke a lie. Now, I always have a hard time being critical of someone who has everything down correctly and screams it and uses curse words. The reason I have a problem criticizing that person is because that's exactly the way I communicate. So when I see somebody else, I don't care if he's black, white, Jew, Gentile, it makes no difference to me, who's screaming out truths and pounding things and saying profanity, I just think, yo, brother, yeah, preach. And I don't care. I don't care who it is. Be a politician, be a minister, and be, I don't care. That type of person, I figured, you know, he's got so much bottled up inside that some of it comes out, it's going to be the truth. Well, as far as Reverend Wright is concerned, I think most of it's the truth, if not all of it. Excuse me. But all the media attention focused on that damn piece of videotape. It's just, they're not going to stop either. They're not going to stop. And when they, until something, and this may be it, the thing that blows the Reverend Wright video off the screen, this breach of Obama's passport information, but it'll come back, you see? Because remember, television doesn't like
calm little scenes of people sitting around roasting marshmallows and having s'mores. You know, No. Show us people screaming and beating and hitting and fighting and pushing people off cliffs and guns going off and bombs and bullets. Give us something where we can drag out the operatives from the Clinton camp and drag out the operatives from the Obama camp and make them fight. Let's get this one over here and this one over here and get them screaming. That's what television loves. They don't give a rat's ass about, you know, just trying to calm down and say, well, wait a minute, we've got a problem here. Let's see if we can solve it. Nah, solve things. Television news and these psychotic commentators that are all over the place. I'm going to send an email to my friend Rachel Maddow. I'm starting to worry a little bit the way she's being drawn into that web. Be strong, girl. Be strong. Do TV. Go for it, Rachel. But be strong. Watch out. They're putting you too close to Pat Buchanan. Come on. Be strong, girl. So how is media handling John McCain's repetition of something that is so grossly incorrect coming out of anyone's mouth, but that's involved in the governance of this sick country, but someone who wants to be president, who keeps saying it, how are media treating that? You want to know how they're treating it? Like it never happened. Like it never happened. Now, had Clinton done that or Obama done that, it would have been played on a loop over and over and over, just like they're doing with the Reverend Wright thing. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton would have said what this straight talk jacket freak said? You imagine if Obama said it? Huh? Have you figured this out yet? Of course you have.
And I replied, bah, bah. Then I remembered, electronic media creates reality. Electronic media creates your mind.
Malloy Show on Nova M Radio. Talk radio matters here.
McCain is given pass after pass after pass, of course. It's obvious why. People like... what's the guy's name on MSNBC? The hardball, Chris Matthews. He wants to sleep with McCain. I think that is so obvious. Not that there's anything wrong with that, except McCain's, you know, already got a honey. But Matthews just lusts after this guy. Of course, Matthews lusts after any manly man, you know, that appears manly. I thought he was going to injure himself when he was just so enthralled with Bush's codpiece when he landed on the aircraft carrier. Remember that? Oh, Chris Matthews was just like tongue-tied, so to speak. But with McCain, Media Matters.org points out, if this would have been Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama who had made such an obviously just out-of-control error, we would be seeing that the way we're seeing the Reverend Wright over and over and over and over again. ABC News Jake Tapper, who's just a little right winger that puts some of these guys to shame, and Tapper eventually will wind up on Fox News where he belongs, but he even offered a possible excuse for McCain in his political punch blog. Jake Tapper wondered if the reason McCain said that was jet lag. Can you imagine somebody saying, if Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama had done something like that, somebody saying, oh, well, she's got jet lag. Please. Media Matters spokesman Carl Frisch, who is a former staffer on McCain's 2000 presidential campaign, said, quote, it looks like that barbecue for the press paid off. What exactly is it going to take for the media to treat Senator McCain like any other candidate rather than giving him the benefit of the doubt at every turn? If a progressive made such a serious, repeated foreign policy gaffe, one thing is clear, you wouldn't be able to open the paper, let alone turn on the television or radio, without hearing about it. End quote. And when not brushing off this incident or making excuses for McCain, reports skipped the gaffe almost entirely. I don't think I heard about it until I picked it up on Media Matters or Democratic Underground or someplace. And then saw the video. But not only did they make excuse for him or skip this foreign policy asinine statement, they recast McCain's remarks as though he was saying something else. Although he later reported that McCain, quote, mistakenly said Tuesday that Iran was allowing al-Qaeda fighters in the country to be trained and returned to Iraq, end quote. Associated Press writer, and gives a name here, Alfred, what, DeMontescu, initially reported that McCain voiced concern that Tehran is bringing militants over the border into Iran for training, yada, yada, yada. A little bit different there, right? Voiced concern. And similarly, a March 18th UPI article reported that during a press the press conference, McCain, quote, said concern still exists that Iran could be training Iraqi extremists in Iran, then returning them into Iraq. You see how they do this? You see how they do this? The truth is, and you can see the video, McCain did not refer simply to militants or Iraqi extremists. He claimed that Iranian operatives were taking al-Qaeda into Iran, training them, and sending them back. And then when pressed to elaborate, McCain said it is, quote, common knowledge, my friends, and has been reported, my friends, in the media, that al-Qaeda, my friends, is going back into Iran and receiving training, my friends, that are coming back into Iraq from Iran. That's well known. Oh, my God. And then Washington Post reporters, the Washington Post is becoming nothing more than Washington Times with more readers. Washington Post reporters Cameron Barr and Michael Shear wrote that McCain, quote, threatened, or that the, let me see here. The way the Washington Post covered the misstatements, they said it threatened to undermine McCain's argument that his decades of foreign policy experience make him the natural choice to lead a country at war with terrorists. Misstatements. Well, thank heavens it wasn't a Democrat who said that, or, you know, you would be, your gag reflex would be kicking off right now from seeing too many loops of that statement, had it come from a Democrat. Rather, we are treated to the gag reflex by watching the Reverend Jeremiah Wright go on and on and on, over and over and over and over, about the truth of American murderous imperialism. What was it? You see, this is the part that just so pisses me off. How can white America be so involved in just complete denial or ignorance? What does it take for Black America, too, for that matter, to understand the foreign policy history of this country for the past 120 years? Why is it that when it's laid out by anybody, it can be a talk show host like moi, or a website, or it can be the writings of General Smedley Butler, his famous treatise, War as a Racket. What is it that makes Americans unable, just completely unable, to understand our history, our foreign policy history. What is that? It's like the white folks in this country who simply cannot understand, really understand, the racial divide in this country, the racial history. Just can't do it. What is that? Kathy, you were the psych major before I ruined your life. What is that called? And it's not denial. What is it called?
Cognitive dissonance.
Well, yeah, but I mean, on a level like this, on an historical intergenerational level, that nobody in this country, I'm sorry, that's a very broad overstatement. So many people in this country react so weirdly when you start pointing out the history of what we've done. Immediately, their back gets up, and their hackles go up, and their hair stands on end. Why? God damn it, you hate America? Well, you son of a bitch, why don't you go over there and live? Which is not the point. The point is, if we can't face our past, how in the hell are we going to build a future? That's the part that drives me just completely around the bend. This preacher, in the confines of his church, where things can be said that are not for public consumption, they're to motivate the congregation, those that want to be motivated. I can remember sitting in my grandmother's Baptist church listening to Reverend Dunham specifically telling people like me that I was going to burn for all eternity in a lake of fire. How's that to dump on a 10-year-old? If I didn't come down to the front of his church, get on my knees, and beg forgiveness. And, of course, I just figured, you know, this man is crazy. Even at 10 years of age, this man's crazy. What the hell are you talking about? Burn in hell. Now, you know, a lot of folks say, well, you don't remember it right, Mike, because that scared the living bejesus out of you. No, it didn't. Because even at that age, you know, I knew that this was insanity. Just crazy talk. Crazy talk. But that's what went on inside the church. And for anybody who didn't like it, get up and leave. Go become a Presbyterian. Well, the same thing. Doesn't it apply to Obama's church and this Reverend Jeremiah Wright? Doesn't he have a right to stand up there? I mean, come on. Who's paying his salary, right? Doesn't the congregation? I mean, I don't know. Is there a synod or something that pays everybody? What difference does it make? The man is standing up there talking truth. And he's saying it in a way that is appreciated by his congregation. I mean, what the hell? That's what church is about. Have you ever gone to a church where you just sat there and it's so damn boring and you just wish that the guy giving the sermon, that somebody would take a sharp stick and poke him in the eye, just anything. Please, do something to inspire me. I'm a sinner.
Well, it says in the Bible that go ye therefore into all the world, preaching.
You know, when you hear somebody like that, don't you? Huh? You just keel over, fall asleep. You grab for that fan in the book holder in front of you, the one that talks. You know, it's got the picture of Jesus in Gethsemane on it, and on the back, it's got the name of your local friendly funeral home. Remember those? Huh? You remember those? Ow! Sit there and fan yourself with the Acme Funeral Home fan. I don't know. I'm sorry. I digress. But Barack Obama and his preacher, it's insanity. I'm so glad to be an American.
Don't need to be teaching no biology. You'll learn all you need to learn at my ministry. And pay no attention to the slanderous lies.
10 before the hour. Thanks to the A-team that put the program together tonight. Ian Huff, our engineer. Billy Foster, our technical director. Ben Birch, podcast manager. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Bob Alexander, A Moment with Bob. Our resident philosopher. Bridget Wolf, our writer in residence. And she sent me something I wanted to read tonight. I'll read it to you tomorrow. About spring equinox and Easter. And Catherine Bay, who is our executive producer. Thanks to everybody. Are you a NovaM founding a member yet? Well, if you're not, I wish you would become one. Go to NovaMradio.com and join. Come on. It's $10 a month or $100 a year. Is that a lot, $10 a month? Well, if you can afford it, join NovaM Radio. There are some goodies that come with it, and you will have wondrous things happen. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you get back soggy bread. I know. Danny is calling from Columbus, Ohio, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Danny, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm really getting sick and tired of this Preachergate stuff, so I wanted to give you a couple of tidbits here. We have a pastor in our town called Rod Parsley.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him.
Yeah. John McCain called him a true man of God.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mr. Parsley has a fortress of a church out here in Canal Winchester, and it is a 5,200-seat church, and he has a $2 million home. And Mr. Parsley, in order to join his church, you have to fill out an application, and if you don't make enough money, you're not allowed to join.
Well, see, Danny, there's money in the saving business, you know?
Oh, yeah, really. Well, he has hours and hours of TV time that he buys to promote George Bush and other Republicans. In the last election, there was a three-hour show in the middle of the day that he had where he just sat there and railed on Kerry.
Yeah.
And a gentleman by the name of Robert Wise has, with Forgotten Word Ministries, has a website, Forgotten Word Ministries, where he documents Pastor Parsley's outrageous quotes from his sermons.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he says on his website that he is consulted regularly by President Bush before making certain decisions. He consults with Rod. And it scares the hell out of me because this guy's nothing more than a freaking nut. And people.
So let me ask you something. Why are the media not reporting on that fruitcake the way they're reporting on Obama's minister?
Well, Oberman started to the other night, but he didn't have a whole lot of time, and he did report on him to a degree. I didn't get to see it all, but I caught the end of it. But
we did on this program too, because you know I'm real familiar with Rod Parsley. In the first place, he's just got the most wonderful name, but the guy looks like a huge stalk of celery walking around that stage when he's trying to get people win their souls to Jesus or whatever it is he's doing. But I just wonder why they don't, you know, expose Parsley. I'm not talking about Oberman's program or my program, but, you know, just run loops of this psychopathic bastard all day long the way they're doing to Reverend Wright. Why is that?
Exactly. And I don't understand. He has a tax-exempt status for his church. And I thought if you had a tax-exempt status at a church, you were not supposed to be out there spending the church's money to promote politics. I thought that was something that they could take your tax-exempt status away.
Well, you can't. You're kind of right. You can't back a certain candidate. A preacher has every right to exhort his flock, and I spell the F-L-O-C-K, to go vote or participate in the democratic process, absolutely. You know, the representative government, all that. Where they cross the line is when they become an advocate for, you know, for one candidate or another. But that's gone. See, with the Christian Coalition, they wiped that out. Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority and Pat Robertson, the Christian Coalition, they wiped that line off the face of the earth. Right-wing preachers can do anything they want to do. They can demonize anybody. They can lift anybody up politically. They can do anything they want to do, and nothing ever happens to them. But let a progressive or a black preacher start talking truth that white America can't handle and media, white-dominated media can't handle. Oh, good God, look out. Here comes the first horseman of the apocalypse. There he is. Reverend Jeremiah Wright. Lord, everybody, run for the hills. Here he comes. Ow!
You're absolutely right. But I think that if they look closer at this man, I hope someone looks at this website. I hope that they start looking into him, and I think they'll dig up some crap. If they really dig, they can find something.
On Parsley?
On Parsley.
Oh, yeah.
And then connect McCain to it and Bush, because they think the man is a true man of God, and they're right there with him. So.
I hear you. All right, Danny, thanks.
I'm glad
you called in. Thanks for checking in. Take care. No, any of these, the more vocal these right-wing preachers are, I bet if they check far enough into Hagee's past, they would find something, maybe several somethings, that are just squirmy and make you want to close the can lid real quick, you know, if you had to peek in there and see Hagee's past. Or all these guys. We got one down here. What's the bishop's name that was screwing half his congregation? Huh?
Earl Polk.
Yeah, Earl Polk. And you want to know the kicker on Earl Polk? This old bastard, not only was he screwing half the female members of his congregation, but his brother's wife got pregnant, and these are all white people. In the process of something happening, they DNA tested the baby and found out that Uncle Earl wasn't really Uncle Earl. He was Pappy Earl. I mean, these people will have sex with their own family members. Oh, that's right. We're in the South. Never mind. Okay, here's another one for you. Water's wet. Oh, Lord. Let me out of here. Thanks for hanging out tonight. You Hillary Clinton fans, I apologize for pissing you off. I really love y'all, but y'all have got to get your heads on straight. Obama people I pissed off. I'm sorry, but y'all need to get your heads on straight, all right? Or do whatever you damn sure want to do. I frankly don't care. I'm just happy being insane. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.